Greet each one in Jesus' name again this evening. It's good to be here with you. I hope that you're enjoying Bible school. I hope that you're learning things and growing in your Christian walk and understanding of God and His Word and His will for your life. It's a wonderful privilege we have of freedom to gather in this way. Wonderful privilege to be in safe territories tonight, not under war-torn conditions. Praise God for that. So many blessings. Before we go into the message tonight, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pause and thank you for this privilege to gather in your house again with this group of people, these young people, Father. I pray that you would bless their lives as they learn more about you and as they seek to grow in their experience. And I pray that you would direct our thoughts tonight as we think about the challenges before us in this modern world. Help us to have the commitment to you that will carry us through the tests and temptations that come our way. And bless us as we look into your word tonight, that it would that we could understand and make choices that would lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title tonight's message is Maintaining Mastery Over Our Electronic Devices. So the first night we talked about commitment to Christ in a modern world. Last night we talked about the snares. We looked at all the bad things that pressures and places that it can pull us to into things that we should not be into. Tonight, we're going to talk about winning the battle. Tonight, I want to see a raise of hands. How many people want to win the battle? Amen. Because if you don't want to win the battle, I can tell you, you won't win the battle. You won't. And so, I drew this picture on the board that I had on the board the first night. I think last night I had suggested that maybe you could think of some Bible principles, that we had these principles in the center here that then direct us out here. And I'd just like to give opportunity, if anyone thought of anything as we went through those messages, not last night but Wednesday night, did you think of any Bible principles that should guide our practical choices? Like to give you the reward of being able to share it if you did any of that. Anyone? Well, that's fine. We're going to talk about some of those tonight. And so maybe we'll write a few of those in and talk about it. One of the questions that I'd like to start with is, what is the spiritual impact of electronic devices on our hearts? What is it doing? Can we ponder that question? Can we even answer that question? It's important that we do wrestle with that question. Some things are bad, completely bad, and ought to be refused for what they are and cut off. But then some things are good, in a good use, but too much of it has a bad impact on us. Some things that are good in certain places and certain ways without limits become bad, hurtful, or wrong. That's the real challenge. I think that Satan, back in days gone by when the television and radio came along, Satan watched many of God's people say, nope, we're not having the television and radio. We're going to cut that off. And I think he dropped his head and said, we missed it. Now, how can we get the same thing into those places? And he helped someone invent a smartphone, internet, and those things. Well, someone recently asked me, what do you think Joseph would have done down there in Egypt? After he had that event, after he came out of prison, after he was honored to lead ahead of the famine, and there he had a place of leadership in the kingdom, what do you think he would have done if one of Pharaoh's servants would have came to him and said, "Hey, Joseph, I want to show you a device. It'll really help you in doing this work and getting ready for the famine. But I want to show you something else about this device. Look what you can see. There's some bad pictures of women that you can look at." What do you think Joseph would have done with that? Well, we know what he did when the temptation came to him. He fled, lost his coat, and lost his reputation. At least he was blamed wrongfully and sat in prison. This brother suggested to me, he thinks that Joseph wouldn't have said, "Well, okay, but let's try to lock it down." He probably would have thrown it in the Nile River. I'll just let you think about that. I believe tonight that... So I have a smartphone in my pocket. I believe tonight that the reality is this is the most powerful, I don't know what to call it. I'm going to call it a pistol. This is the most loaded pistol we've ever allowed in our pockets. And we have to understand that. We have to acknowledge that. If we're going to unload it and put a safe on, and you understand that? You boys probably understand that better than maybe the ladies do. And so let's talk about some Bible principles. First of all, I'd like to start right where we started the other night, and that we must have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. Enter into the living word. We're not going to camp out on this point because we talked about that the other night. But foundational to finding our way through this is that relationship. Without that, you're lost. You're done. The world does care about the impact of smartphones, and some of them do things to regulate it, and you can read what they think about some of that. But where we need to be to win the battle is we need that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's only in that power and that strength. And it's only in the context of the question, what pleases God, that we will be able to find our way. The first principle that I'd like us to think about, turn with me to Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. And we could look at, there'd be a number of Bible verses we could turn to, but Psalm 101 verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." That's the Bible principle. That's the testimony of the psalmist. And when that is solidly in our plate, that will be in our heart if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we will set no wicked thing before our eyes. And so as whatever we do with whatever screen or even whatever paper magazine, we will set no wicked thing before our eyes. We will turn our eyes away from it. We will shut it off. We will cut it off. We will limit. We will say no to pictures of undress and nudity and pornography. We will not open up stories and news articles of wickedness that tempt us or excite our passions. This point will require us to, I believe, put some kind of filters, some kind of stops, some kind of limits, some kind of, that it's not just free and open. That's a practical outworking of this concept, "I will set no wickedness before my eyes." I believe that accountability, filters and accountability are a must. I'm not in the camp of people who say, throw all our smartphones in the Nile River, but I am in the camp of people that say, we're going to have to do something. And we're going to have filters and accountability. And there's quite a variety of things available to do that. But we need a regular checking up with each other. It's not just good enough to outrule all use. Some people think that if you outrule all use, then you're delivered from it. And so in some of those settings, maybe someone is running a business and they will say, well, it's not mine. One of my employees owns a computer, and therefore it's wide open for their children maybe to access it after hours. It's wide open because it's not mine. And I don't understand, it's somebody else's. I think it is much wiser to take control of that thing and bring it into line and put some checks on it and put some boundaries and some walls and whatever you want to call those things, so that it is kept in check, so that no wickedness is set before my eyes. Well, because the reality is, even sometimes a simple flip phone can go places that it shouldn't go. And so we have to be careful with that. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now I have to tell you something. I was sitting down here while you were singing the second song, and that verse came to my mind, and I wanted to know where it's at. And I pulled my smartphone out to my Bible app, and I searched that, and I found that verse so I could quote it tonight and tell you where it is. I don't know what your church does with that. One of the points we're going to talk about is we have to protect our church services. And perhaps I shouldn't even do that, but I'm telling you where I'm at. Because we must be honest with the practical side of this thing and what it does and where are we. What are we doing? What is it doing to us? Another Bible principle, Hebrews 13 verse 5. That should direct us. There would be other places we could turn to for this as well. But contentment and no covetousness. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what will contentment do with us on this subject? When that Bible teaching, when we get a hold of that and say, I must learn to be content, what will it do? One of the things it'll do is it'll let you wear out your cell phone. I'm not going to ask for someone to raise their hand, but I wonder who has the newest cell phone here tonight. So I'm an Android user. I like old Motorola phones. I don't spend much money for a Motorola phone. I usually buy them under $200. Try to make them last as long as they can last. Quite a number of years ago, trying to find a way through filters and stuff, somebody said an iPhone is much easier to do and all that. And so I tried to get into the iPhone class of users, and I bought an iPhone. I spent more money than $200. And I told somebody that, you know, I wear my phones out, so I intend to use this thing. My other one was, I don't know how many years old, but 8 years old or something. As much as I paid for it, I should be able to use it for 15 years. And a young man shook his finger at me and said, I want to tell you something. Apple won't let you be content to use that thing for 15 years. They'll get you. Well, guess what? Apple didn't get me the second time. They got me once. I got rid of my iPhone and back to a simple Motorola Android. Cheap one and make it last. Bible principle of contentment. Make it last. Stewardship is part of this contentment. In this, and we could turn to numerous scriptures, but stewards of our money, stewards of our time. Stewardship. What about online shopping? You know, this stuff is just one click away. Here, in the summertime, we were on our way to church. My wife was driving. I was a little tired, and I was sitting in the passenger seat resting. She's driving to church. One of the children or grandchildren had gotten a tick on them earlier in the day, and they ended up going to the doctor to get this tick off because it was really like like crimped in or something. And the family doctor said, you know, there's this cute little tool, a little plastic thing called Ticked Off. It's got a little V thing to it. You can scoop right underneath a tick and you can pull them right out. I said, and my wife said, you know, I got to figure out where to buy one of those. And instantly I thought Amazon. And she's driving and I went on Amazon and typed in Ticked Off. And right there it is. $2.37 little plastic thinger to take ticks off. Put it in my shopping cart. I said, it'll be there in 2 days. What? What do you mean? Amazon. I got it. Now, if we'd have had to drive to Lebanon to do that, and drive up and find, go to pharmacies and try to figure it out, I don't know what we'd have done. But that quick, I could have $2.37 little tool to take ticks off. But I'll tell you something, that whole online shopping thing, many, many times I spent more than $2.37 on something in an instant. What about buying on Amazon on Sunday? We're talking about stewardship, contentment. We're talking about buying and selling. We're talking about the Lord's Day. What about scrolling what I can buy on Sunday and clicking on it? Well, how is that different from Pop sitting on the recliner chair reading the Lancaster Farming and the mailbox market ads and circling what he wants to call on Monday and things that he found he wants to... Is there any, you see, it got us if we're not careful. And we have to go back to some of these Bible principles. And if those things are true, and if that's what God wants from us, it's going to affect the way we live out here. It's going to affect whether we read the Lancaster Farming on Sunday or go shopping. It bothers me sometimes. I order something online and it gets delivered on Sunday. I try to set it so it doesn't get delivered on Sunday, but I feel really, really bad when a delivery truck comes in my driveway on a Sunday. I feel really, really bad. I think something's wrong with that picture. Maybe I'm not responsible. It's on their end. But I try like everything to not make them bring something to my house on Sunday. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's another principle that has a serious side to it. It's a principle maybe that we don't think about enough. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. Says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to try to write that in the circle on the board. But you know what that verse says? That says it's not wrong to have a number of things that we could have with electronics, but they're not expedient, meaning they're not helpful. They're not a good thing. They're not an asset. And so this requires a child of God to weigh the value and the use and the need and the expediency of it. And we use this word self-denial. I used to think self-denial meant saying no to sin. That's not true. Sin is out. Self-denial is saying no to stuff that is not out because of sin. It's a choice to put things off because they are weights or they are not expedient. That's self-denial. And what's tough about self-denial is you might have a brother sitting beside you in church that is not denying himself for that, but you feel some conviction that you can't handle that and you should deny yourself for that. And something within our heart says, well, I should be able to do what everybody else is doing. And we're caught. And so This fourth point is that we must seriously consider the impact that our devices have on us. All things are lawful, but they're not expedient. 1 Corinthians 10:23 is stated very much the same. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They don't build me up. There's not some value there. And Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of any. What do you think Paul would do if he was to run a tent making business in America today? I think that he would have the bare necessities of what he needs to order his things. I'm just amazed. We order stuff at the store all the time online and Everything has moved online. I think Paul would have the bare necessities to do his ordering online, and he had things locked down that he can't go to wrong places, and he'd have somebody else looking over his shoulder. Years ago in Pilgrim, when the internet first came, one of our decisions was we wouldn't have internet in homes, only in office environments. And then I met a very, very wise mother that stopped me in my tracks. Their family was a farming family, a grain farming family. So they had big bins, and they watched the grain market, when to sell corn and wheat and barley. And you watch that online. And they had a little shed out at the way station. And you could technically call that their office. But they did most of their office work in a little room right next to the kitchen. But our church rules said computers and internet may only be in like a business, not in a house. And that mother said, no way. If my men are going to be searching the web and watching grain prices, they're going to do it where I can see it from my kitchen. And I said, we got our church rule wrong. It ought to be done where mom can look over the shoulder at any point in the kitchen. Today, where I work, when we set up an office, we have to get the boss's approval. And one of the things that he is careful with is that our computer screens are not turned away from where people go past, or you can enter the room at any time. And I appreciate that. Our computer screens are where someone can come through the door and you didn't realize they were coming or whatever. You're not sitting with it completely in a corner. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Do they edify? What about the lightheartedness? What about YouTube is one of those things that has terrible, terrible, powerful influence. Power to influence our thinking, to dominate our time, power to change our values, our priorities, our focus, power to change our circle of friends and their influence and our authorities, and on and on and on. The fifth principle I want to talk about, and I don't have a specific verse for this, but it's again through the Bible. And this point number five, is good relationships are built on face-to-face interactions. Now, I can hear somebody saying, Brother Luke, Paul sent letters to the churches. And that was like a text message. Yes, that's as good as he could do. But how many of his letters did he say, I long to come to you in person. And I write this to do for now until I can come to see you and fellowship with you and set things in order. And so good relationships are built on face-to-face interactions. Social media is unreal and distant. Misunderstandings are much more common when communicating electronically. I've personally faced that. It is much better to have a conversation, even on the phone, hearing each other is better than just electronically. This pressure to portray myself in the best light is not good. I should be there in person and learn to do friendships and communication in person. Put the phone down and go pay someone a visit. Brotherhood, we need in-person services and fellowship. Just think COVID-19. I don't know what you all experienced through that. But one of the things that I learned is it's no good to try to do church electronically. It's wonderful to sit in your living room and listen to the preacher, and you can drink coffee while you're doing it. That's no good. That's not near like in person. It's maybe the best we could do, but I don't think we'd have to return to do that again. I think we learned something about that. At least I think I did. Generally, here's a warning for us. Generally, something is wrong if our closest friends are distant, and it's hard for us to keep friends close. I met people who have friends in another state, and they message them back and forth, but their relationships are broken right around here. Something's wrong. Some time ago, a man that was outside of church fellowship and struggling, but he had a testimony that he's spiritual, but his life was not spiritual. And the local congregation where he was excommunicated from because of his sin, He would go around to other people and he would tell them how wonderful he is and how bad his congregation is for having dealt with him. And a brother came to me one day and said, "I don't understand. Why this is happening? Why doesn't his congregation, I mean, he has a tremendous testimony." And I said this, that's what brotherhood is for. I don't understand all the situations, and I don't know all the situations. But when he's born again and living right and obedient to God, his brothers and his church will know it, and he'll be restored. And that's exactly what happened. One day he got converted. He was restored to the church before he passed away. And when he got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, his close brothers knew it. And they welcomed him back in the church with open arms. Good relationships are built face to face. Let me tell you something, young people. If you have a confession to make, if you did something at Bible school that you shouldn't have, Bible school's over and you should clear it up with the administrator. Don't send him a text. Call him at minimum and tell him on the phone. Or go face. We need to get sin cleared up. And if you're sitting in jail and the only thing you can do is send a text, then send a text. But I really cringe when I get a text message of someone saying, "I'm sorry, I did that." It's like, how cheap a shot is that? I don't believe that we should do church work electronically. As a bishop, I cannot bring myself to send a message saying, "Look, brother, you know, I have a concern about your life and I need to go talk to him." Now, sometimes I'll send a message saying, "Look, we should talk about something. I have a few concerns. Can we meet for coffee?" And it's a message to bring us together, but the real work is done face to face. All right, point number 6 from Psalm 119, verse 15. And this one I'm going to put in the circle. Meditate. I'm afraid this is a spiritual value. Maybe we call it an art that's being lost today. Psalm 119 verse 15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Point number 6 is we must take time, make time for meditation time. We need time to sit and read and ponder. Recently, I learned something. My wife actually got the audio Bible app on her phone first. And I was resistant to that. I like to read my Bible. I still, my personal devotions is with the good old book. But one day we were riding somewhere and she was playing this audio. And I learned something about myself. I heard things from those verses that I don't know if I realized were there because I learn better by hearing. My dad says that's why I talk all the time. That's the only way how I can teach myself anything. And so, you know, I softened my heart a little bit. I said, you know, I want to know the word of God. I'm not giving up the good old book. No way. But maybe when I'm driving, it's all right to listen to it and hear more that I didn't realize was there when I read those words. Meditation time. Meditate on the word, the deep truths, our lives and how it measures up, the challenges that we're facing, our tests. For family men, we need to meditate about what are the needs of our children and our family. And sometimes we need some meditation time to think about our job. What are we doing and how is it affecting me? And my testimony before others. And in those moments, allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. You can't have your life full of chatter all the time. Even if it's good singing, good hymns, constantly can become a negative because I don't have time to think. And allow the Holy Spirit some space to move my thoughts where he wants to. And so meditation. We must make time for meditation time. But life is so fast and it's so full and there's always something to do and there's just all kinds of ways that we can be filled with this chatter, endless chatter. And we need some quiet time. Turn the phone off and meditate and pray without distraction. Number 7, we must protect our worship services. Will the day ever come that we're here only with our electronic Bibles, Bible apps, scrolling through them? What's going to happen when an email comes in and it buzzes? What happens? See, the reality is on our phones, it depends how you have it set up. But many of us, so we used to have cameras. Well, we don't have cameras anymore. Many of us don't. Some real good photographers have cameras. But we take pictures with our smartphones. At work, we spend a couple hundred dollars for a good camera to take pictures of truck beds to advertise them. And this is probably revealing that I don't know how to set a good camera to take a good picture. But I can take better pictures with my cell phone than I can with that big smart, the big fancy camera. So here you got this thing, and you got messaging possibilities while you're sitting in church. You got your picture book with you while you're sitting in church. You got, and that's why we should turn them on, if we carry them to church, we should turn them on airplane mode. I know that more and more there's things like a chicken house that has an alarm that a man might need to answer, and we count on those things. I've gotten some emergency messages already during a church service. I don't always know what to do with that, but I think we have to protect our worship services and really think about it. Well, sometimes people will raise the question, well, what about visual aids in speaking? What about a whiteboard? What about a screen? You realize tonight that it would be much more captivating for me to have a moving screen up here and playing little clips to make points stick harder in your brain. They would. But to me, I love to use a whiteboard because I taught school for so many years, and I love to teach with a whole board of a whole wall of boards that you can write on and illustrate things. But it doesn't move. It's there. You can use some color. You can do it. It's not video. It's not that thing. And so I believe that there is value in trying to illustrate points and these kind of helps. But I think we should stop short of video medium in our churches. Now I know. And recently, so I don't know what you all do here. I don't know tonight if I'm just being recorded with my voice or with a video feed. But recently, an older couple told me that they call in or they listen to a certain group's messages because they're hard of hearing. And that group has the video feed and the message, and they keep it zoomed up close enough to the speaker that when you're hard of hearing, you can also do some lip reading and they can understand it better by watching the video of the preacher. And I said to myself, there's going to be the hook that's going to hook us to say, we got to live stream our services so people with hard of hearing can hear the word. And somebody said, before we do that, let's start a fund for hearing aids. I don't know what all we should do with that, but it's something we must wrestle with. One of the things that I think is important for any group of people, I noticed this happened to us in Pilgrim. We changed our standards some on technology as the years rolled by. And I think with almost every position we had, we always wrestled with this question, is it safe? Is it safe? And other groups had a line in a different place and they were saying, is it safe? That's a question we should always keep in our head. Is it safe? What's it doing? Is it safe? And if we need to adjust it, we need to adjust it and find our way. Protect our worship services. Well, we talked about this. Point number 8 is we must be careful about the wells that we drink from. Sound doctrine, true faith, solid music choices. We must be careful of the wells that we drink from. We could turn to the teachings of the scripture about keeping the faith and sound doctrine and end time deception. And it's just full of those warnings. We must be careful of the wells that we drink from. For you young people tonight, I want to tell you something. in our church settings. Hopefully this is not true of you all. So I'm kind of wishing that you all say, I don't connect with that point. And I would really be blessed. But in our settings, it is common for young people growing up. Their parents are part of this church for many years. They're growing up. It is common to kind of, they don't put it in this many words. I'm going to try to keep it simple so I can beat the clock. But it's common for them to look around and say, surely there's something better somewhere else. I mean, there's some teacher that'll get this right. The reason I'm struggling with this besetting sin is there's something our church is missing. And I'll tell you, if you look around like that, Satan will feed you a lie to lead you astray. I'm not teaching it to be blind. The noble Bereans searched the scriptures to see if they were true. They were so. But if you look around saying, something's wrong with this disciplined life. Surely there's an easier way to do this. Surely the cross doesn't cost this much. You open yourself wide open for deception. Number 9, we need the church to help us. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. If they have to answer with grief, it's hurtful for them and for you and I. We need the help of the church. We talked about this the other night. I explained why I think that the church helping us to set some standards and some guidelines is so very, very helpful. And we should appreciate that and welcome that. Don't chafe under that, young people. Understand that every church perhaps draws their lines at a different place. And appreciate what your church is doing for you and love it and stick with it. Make the best of it. Accept the things that you, lines that you would draw at a different place. Because I want to tell you something, if you jump from this church to another one, you're going to find a line that you don't like there either. You might have gained something here, but you lost something there. Unless you're going down and away from truth, and the way is getting broader and broader and broader, then you might get what all you're looking for. But you know what the broad way is. Now, I'd like to turn and talk about some practical encouragements. With some of these things in place. Practical encouragement number 1 is turn off notifications, beeps, and buzzes. Avoid the dictatorship. Listen, when this thing in your pocket goes bzzz, bzzz, can you ignore it? See, I'm told, and they have a name for this. They call this Zeigarnik effect. Psychologists call it. And what it is when a buzz happens, it tells your brain there's something there. And it's a suspense. And you know what we do with suspense? You got to finish it. It's an open loop that you got to close. You got to at least see what it is. And that is so very, very, I mean, you can be visiting with friends and an important visit or something, and that thing buzzes. And there's tremendous power to pull that thing out, even though you're in the face of your friend, and check, what was that buzz about? Tremendous power. You can turn those things off. You can silence that and do without it. Because Paul said, I won't be brought under the power of any. Let's be careful. This is one way to say, I've got to stop this looking at it all the time. What about when you're in the workplace? Some workplaces don't allow us to have our cell phones. What about when we're in the workplace if they allow the cell phone? How many minutes can you spend on that cell phone until you're cheating your boss from something? So now we're back on this honesty subject. And if I'm doing a lot with that, then I'm not being fair with my boss. So turn off notifications, beeps, and buzzes where we can. I'm told that interrupted tasks, like an open loop, are remembered much better than finished tasks. I know that to be true in my own head. Because
It even works this way with my coffee. If I have a coffee cup and walking around doing something, I'm drinking a little bit of coffee. There's times I set it down and I know I'm not done. It's like, where'd my coffee get to? I know I'm not done. But when I sip that last little bit, I can let that coffee cup almost anywhere and forget about it. And my wife walks all around and finds them. People give her coffee cups with all kinds of nice sayings on and pretty flowers and all that. And I drag them all around and she goes around and picks them all up.
Number two, practical encouragement. Refuse to start your day with your electronics. This is one that I think about and I work on. But I want to just illustrate this for you. So I'm a bishop. There's some church responsibilities. And I'm a dad. There's some family responsibilities. And I have a job and some responsibilities there. So there's a number of people who rightfully turn sometimes with questions and say, what shall we do with this? How do you think I would feel if I wake up in the morning and I come out of my bedroom and I come into my kitchen and there is 15 people lined up with their questions? I would say, get out of here. It's breakfast time. I need some devotion time. Like, how dare you intrude in my house? But you know what? They can do it right here. There can be 15 messages waiting for me, and I get up, and maybe even before I comb my hair, I look, and oh, wow, oh, okay, wow, oh. And they barged right in. Not because they barged in, but because I opened the door and left them in. See, one of the things that I like about, for example, a text message. Some of my fellow bishop friends and stuff are busy. They're in the middle of meetings. And I love sometimes to send a message saying, look, we need to talk sometime. When are you free? Today's an easy day for me. Call me when you're free. And it's sitting there when they get a chance to open it up. Hopefully they have their notification turned off. And they finish their meeting and then they look. And then they say, oh, I can call Luke now. I'm driving home. And so they make a call. And we talk. I like to be able to put that there. But then if I get up first thing in the morning and I open the door, I let that flood in, and I'm responsible for their intruding in my schedule. And what can happen is all of those things claim your mind and you can forget to do some important things. I raise some goats on the sideline. It's what I do to unload my stress. Just go down and feed my goats. And I like when they are happy and they eat feed and they like me. And it's just wonderful to just go feed a few goats. You know, there's times in the morning when I get up and if I get something going, I'm off to work and I'm like, I forgot to check my goats. I have some that are about ready to freshen and I didn't, where was my head? You know where it was? It was taken up with everything else. Now, if goats are forgotten, that doesn't matter. If my little children are forgotten, I don't have very little children anymore. That's a problem. So refuse to start your day with electronics. It hijacks your mind and focus. You've allowed others right in. You've allowed them to crowd out your day. Number three, another practical thing is mind the gaps. There are times when there's moments you have nothing to do. Rightfully so. And in those moments, we often pick our phone up and fill it up. You could have taken a couple minutes to meditate. And think and pray. But what happens when we have these things on us and they have the mastery over us, the minute we have an extra minute, we got to open this thing up. So mind the gaps. Maybe you're in line at a grocery store and you're waiting. Maybe you could meditate and pray. Maybe the Spirit would like to tell you you should talk to the person in front of you. But instead we get out our phone and scroll the news or check our messages or whatever. In the restroom at work, for a while the boss had a sign, no cell phones in the restroom. Shame on the people who camp out wasting time in a restroom. Coffee break at work. Don't just fill it up with. Maybe you could visit with some of the others. Again, mind the gaps. Reflective moments. This is back to meditation. Take time to reflect, recharge, time to pray,
Why should we mindlessly waste those moments? Number four, get off social media apps and circles as much as possible. Here, some time ago at a council meeting, a young mother in the council room, she said, she gave her peace testimony, but she asked the ladies to pray for her because she said it is her prayer, and she wanted the ladies to help pray to this end. It is her prayer that the voice and the cry of her children would be louder than the buzz of her cell phone. The other day, I met her again, and I complimented her. I said, that sticks. I said, I've used that numerous times in messages. See, those are practical ways. Those are things we need to think about. It is possible that important things are getting pushed aside because of messaging and following and, yes, it is a challenge, though, for ladies. We men often get out in our jobs and get some social interchange on the job, and the ladies are at home in the house. And that's where God intended for mother to be, homemakers. And so I don't want to be too hard on that, because there is some legitimate reaching out and fellowship that can be had. But do we have mastery over it, or is it a master over us? You can find all kinds of housekeeping tips and decorations, even cheap ideas. And you men can find, you know, ways to use old palettes to do what, I mean, on these sites and on these places, there's no end to the things that you can find, and then you can post your ideas and on and on and on. And when does it stop? Number five, have some family time without electronic distractions. I believe family and youth group time without distractions. And Bible school without distractions. Pick your phone up afterward. And, you know, usually there's somebody at the facility that if something happened big and bad at your family today, someone outside can get a hold of somebody here and get you the message. We used to do a lot of that years ago. But now it just seems like I got to have my phone on, because what if someone wants to get a hold of me? I remember the day when my one phone was wearing out, and I took a busload of people north for the day, and my phone battery went dead. And I had intended that when we stopped for coffee, I'll pick up a different charger, because my charger was shot. And I discovered my phone was that old that they didn't have a charger with that kind of plug anymore. And so I couldn't buy a charger, and my phone went dead, and I was going to be gone for the whole day, a long day. And I worried that my wife is probably trying to get a hold of me. She probably thinks we ran down over a bank somewhere and I'll never be home. And I, you know, I fretted about it because I had no connection. The bus company couldn't even call me. And if we had trouble, I couldn't call back. And this thing just really ate me up. And so the trip went well. I got back to Lancaster County, dropped the people off, parked the bus, and I hurried home. And I just wondered, it was 9:30, 10 o'clock till I got home, and I just pitied my poor wife, because I figured she's probably in tears wondering where I was at. And I came in the house, and I'm like, you know, honey, how are you? And, you know, like, and she's like, what's up? I'm like, were you trying to get a hold of me today? And she said, no, why are you acting so weird? She said, I was fine. And then she said something. She said, yeah, I got a lot done today. I was cleaning. I was doing that. She wasn't worried about her husband in the bus. And here I was fretting all day long that she was probably trying to wonder whatever happened to me. And she was just fine, and she got a lot done. See, we're talking about having mastery over our devices. And we have to learn that while they are important and they serve important places, we can actually do without them. Can actually do without them. Some time ago, a number of years ago, I visited Ukraine, and I learned something that I never even thought about. But you want to be careful with cell phone signals in a war country, because those things show up on fighting men's radar, and it means something to them. We run around here with cell phones, and we don't think about who might be watching where, what kind of signature is here, what can they, but they can follow that.
I don't mean to scare you tonight, but I'm just talking about the fact that we don't always need these things. We can actually live well without them. And there's some blessing in doing that. Whether it's mealtime around the table, whether it's family worship, let's just have some time without electronic distractions. Number six, let's keep some old time values alive. Like reading a book with paper and ink. There's some real values you get from that that you don't get from this, just the electronic versions. Music and singing together. Making the music yourselves, not just listening to it. Oh, it's wonderful to listen to it. But there's something greater about making harmony together as a group. That's an old-time value, I'm calling it. And it can be kept alive. That's a current value today. Physical games together with family and youth groups. Learning to take out cheerfully and learning to be gracious and learning to, yes, backyard farming, gardening, animals, vegetables. Some old-time values, not just glued to the electronics. Bird watching, tree and plant identification. Oh yeah, but it's so wonderful because they make these apps that you can take, like aim the camera toward this bird and it'll tell you exactly what it is. If you're star watching, you can get those star maps and you can point it in the sky toward a star and it'll show you the constellation and the name of it and all that. You don't actually need to use your brain anymore. Your phone can tell you all that stuff. Probably better to have a book with birds in it and do some identifying yourself. Well, the last point is another one where I must gain some ground on. And maybe you do too. But we must be legal. You know what the law is in Pennsylvania about a cell phone? It's no touch while driving. I understand it's even no touch with maps. Now, a couple years ago, I got pulled over and fined by police for texting and driving. This is what happened. I was leaving work and my phone went bzzz. I'm driving. I shouldn't look at it. And then my phone went bzzz. Oh, I'm driving. Nope, I'm going to be a real man. I'm going to say no to it. So I got to the red light and the light was red. So I pulled my phone out and I did the real, real careful thing. I pulled my phone way up to my steering wheel so I could see the red light. I didn't pay attention why the car beside me stayed back and didn't pull up. But it was an officer and he's looking right in my window. This is dusk. It's getting dark and my screen is well lit. I pulled it up and the light is red. And I opened up WhatsApp. And I saw, I don't need to answer that message. So I closed it. The light went green. So I started to roll forward. And I opened text message where the other one came in on while I'm rolling forward. And I saw, I don't need to answer that one. And so I closed it and put it in my pocket and the flashing lights went on. He said, you know why I stopped you? He said, you were texting and driving. I said, well, I didn't send a text. No, he said, I know. You opened two text-based apps. The one you opened while you were stopped at the red light, but the other one while you were moving. And that is illegal. That was before this law change of no touching the screen. We must be legal. And that's really, really tough. It's really, really tough. Sometimes I get a message or a phone call. I don't have my phone set up so techy that I can just talk to it and does everything for me. Maybe if I had an iPhone, it would do that. But so then I pull off the road, especially when there's snowbanks that you can't get off the road real far. I'm pulled off the edge of the road and somebody blows their horn because I'm stopped at a strange spot, but I'm trying to be legal with my phone and I'm not sure I'm legal with my vehicle. But we have to be legal for the testimony of the Christian church to please Jesus Christ. We need to be legal and not be texting and driving and watching videos. You know, there's people sitting in jail tonight because they had a wreck and somebody was killed because they were watching videos. That's a reality for a Mennonite man. And so we must be legal. Well, the question I leave with you tonight is, are your electronic devices your tool? Are you the master of them? And they are under subjection to you and your decisions? Or are you a servant to them? And are they a master over you?
that you can't hardly say no to them. God bless you, young people. I enjoyed so much sharing this time together with you. I hope these messages have prompted you to think deeply and make some choices to stand on your own two feet. While I believe that we need to stick together as brotherhoods, I also know that the battle will not be won just by churches making rules. It's a help. It can inspire us. It can hold us accountable. But if we're going to win the battle, young people, we're going to win it because we chose, by the grace of God, His power in serving Him, we chose to do what's right. And we chose to cut off things that are not helping us. The weights. You don't run a race with all kinds of weight on. If you want to win a race, you make it as light as possible. May God help us to know what things to cut off to win that race. I'll turn it back to our brother.
Several years ago, I have a brother-in-law who didn't have a cell phone. He didn't want a cell phone. And this was his reason. He said, cell phones destroy faith and trust. What happened to the days when we trusted the Lord to take us where we needed to go, or that our children got there safely, or whatever the case may be? Now, this is his words, his thoughts. Now we don't need to trust the Lord anymore. We can just make sure they're okay by the cell phone. Just a thought. Do we ever find ourselves trusting more in our ability to communicate with each other than to do in the Lord? Just trust. Just trust. Granted, we don't want to be foolish and just refuse to do some things that are safe. But at the same time, I think it'd be good for us to consider. It's good for me to consider. Who am I trusting? What am I trusting? Something to think about. You've heard a lot of things about how to practically control things. And Brother Luke, at the very last, he said something about the heart. And while I agree with the fact that the heart is what needs to be dealt with first, there's still some value in actually taking some steps to safeguard. A lot of value in that. I think we all know that. Just a encouragement for us to consider strongly how much risk we want to take.